There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a bird council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, Todd, let's do this. Over the hills and through the woods, maybe. Maybe not to grandmother's house. We go on this getaway Wednesday for some folks, Thanksgiving Eve edition of Midday Mobile. Lots to do over the next couple of hours of live local talk. And yes, 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 you heard the news update there. And we will discuss, I was just talking about with Jeff as we were in the news break, some more discussion about the diagnosis of COVID-19 for Coach Nick Saban. I like Jeff, even though Jeff, the Auburn graduate and fan, I, the Alabama graduate and fan, believe that it's not going to have any effect on the game. I'm going to get Dalton. Be looking at what it does to the way Vegas is. Tell me what it does to the line. Just a diagnosis of COVID-19 for Coach Saban, what that does to the betting line out of Vegas on the Iron Bowl. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, State Senator Chris Elliott's going to join us in the second half of the show. And speaking of COVID-19, and I remember the first discussion, the real in-depth discussion of what this was, what this coronavirus was, what COVID-19 was with Dr. Randy Murphy from the Mobile County Health Department. Lucky to have Dr. Murphy back on with us now. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, hi, Sean. Glad to be here.
Hey, yeah, and glad to get you back on. Happy Thanksgiving. And so many questions here. Let's start off with Thanksgiving, first of all. The recommendations, I mean, we hear, you know, state by state, some variants here, but CDC talking about don't do it the same old way.
Right, right. It's a really high COVID transmission time right now, and you are safer at home. So CDC has come out recommending that people stay safer at home. ADPH has been doing the same thing, and we follow suit that you have the lowest risk possible by staying at home.
Yeah,
still, we know people are going to gather, so we do have some tips on, if you do gather, ways to make it as safely as possible.
Yeah, and we can, you know, we've talked about some of those on the show, but I think people's frustration would be that, hey, I go to the grocery store, hey, I'm going to the office, the kids had gone to school, let's go down the list of things we do, and now y'all are saying, but don't have Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So generally, when you go to the grocery store or to the post office or, you know, to the big box store, you're there for a shorter period of time than you might be if you're at grandma's house all day. And then the other thing about celebrations like Thanksgiving is that you generally, you know, they're multi-generational activities, right? You have the kids mixing with the young adults, with the adults, and then, you know, grand aunties and uncles and grandparents and that sort of thing. And that's really kind of the recipe for what could be a tragic situation of unknowingly exposing people who are predisposed to complications of COVID.
So that could, and by the way, we could solve all this with the kids' table out in the yard that stays
there.
That will
help.
Right?
That will help.
I mean, if that tradition comes back, it was when I was a kid, even if they had room at the big table, we all had to sit at a different table than the grown-ups.
That's right. So, you know, outdoors is better if you can accommodate, you know, a small gathering with people outdoors. That's great. If you can make sure that people that don't live together are 6 feet away from each other, that's the way to do it. And then also to have shorter gatherings. So rather than showing up, you know, an hour or two before lunch and staying, you know, through the last football game of the day, just consider, you know, very brief small gatherings.
Let's talk about the impacts, though. You talk about that multi-generational situation. And aren't we talking about the oldest members of the family, right? That's who you worry about, because the stats show that if the younger people, even if they get it, it's not a, you know, it's they're going to come back from this. A very small percentage of younger people have, you know, any dire effects from this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So younger people will have mild illness if they even have symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
They will likely survive it. It's very rare that someone below the age of 50 dies with COVID. It's also very rare to have children hospitalized, though we have seen a few. But yes, we worry mostly about healthy young adults, folks, you know, even in middle-aged healthy people, unknowingly exposing people who have underlying medical conditions that might not be apparent to you. So, you know, a cousin that has diabetes, for example, or, you know, maybe a distant relative that maybe is going through some cancer treatment that you don't know about. And then certainly people who are older.
Couldn't we flip this around? I understand getting the information out, but couldn't we flip it around and say it's incumbent upon those people you just described to say, hey, we can't, if they're worried about it because of those situations, that, hey, we can't make Thanksgiving this year, versus calling the whole thing off?
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly everyone's right to decline the invitation. But, you know, I've heard from several callers this week, you know, older people feeling a lot of social pressure to have Thanksgiving at their home. And an 80-year-old lady called me Monday and said, you know, my kids keep pressuring me to let them come over here, and I just keep saying, no, I don't want to do that this year. So there is more social pressure out there than you might think for people to have Thanksgiving the way it's always been done.
Well, she needs to smack those kids in the mouth. I mean, virtually, not in person. That'd be too dangerous. But smack them in the mouth and say, no, we'll do it next year. Exactly. I think that's one of the frustrations. When these discussions and these guidelines come out, people feel like, you know, they're being told how to celebrate their holiday versus saying, here's the facts, make those decisions family by family.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It is up to the individual to decide and determine what level of risk they're willing to accept. We're just recognizing that, you know, 40% of people who have COVID have no symptoms and may not know they have COVID. And that's the situation that we really worry the most about. And it's probably not a surprise, but there are a lot of people out there that refuse to get tested, because they don't want to know if they have COVID, because then they would have to isolate. And that is, those sorts of risky behaviors are what worry us during the holidays.
Yeah, what about that? There's a program going on for folks to get tested for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I mean, testing is available Monday through Friday at the health department at no cost to anyone. So anybody for many months who wanted a COVID test or who wants one now can get tested by calling our appointment line at 690-8889. But on this past Saturday, I think you're referring to community-wide COVID testing event that was sponsored by the health department. And we offered, you know, rapid COVID testing results while you wait at no charge at 6 locations, just under a sort of know before you go campaign that we knew people would be leaving over the weekend to travel out of state or out of town for Thanksgiving, and we were saying, you know, at least get a test right before you go and don't travel if you're positive. And we tested 889 people. 32 of them were positive and didn't know it. So if you do the math, that means for about every 100 people that gather, you can expect 3 to 4 of them to be infectious with COVID and not know it.
Dr. Murphy, you're talking about testing. Here's something, this is anecdotal, but it comes at me from my friends just telling me, people, listeners telling me their experiences, that the testing has seemed, well, they say, listen, I had a positive and went back and got a second test, you know, from the same day or something, and it was negative, then it was positive. People seem to be doubting the reliability of the test out there. And I know there's different tests, but can we address that?
Sure, I'm happy to try. So with any type of test, the tests have all been evaluated using people who have symptoms of COVID, right? So their pre-test likelihood is high that they have COVID. They have been exposed to COVID. They have symptoms of COVID. And the test is performed, you know, at the time of symptom onset or shortly thereafter. That situation, that scenario, is when the tests perform the very best, right? PCR is better than what we call an antigen test or a rapid antigen test, but the antigen tests are still good. But when you start getting into a situation of testing people who don't have symptoms or think they've been exposed but have been exposed maybe just yesterday or today, that's too early to test. If they're asymptomatic and they test, these are situations that lead to not wrong test results, but it's just the timing or the situation in which the test was deployed was not appropriate, an appropriate use of the test.
Okay. That it explains some of this. So it's just not all, you can't, everything's not apples to apples, you're saying. And this
right.
person at this level of, you know, when they picked it up, how they were feeling when they got tested.
Right. I know that people have a tendency to, if they think they've been exposed, then they get a little nervous and they want to run and get tested. But a test is more likely to be false negative if you are tested too soon after exposure. So okay. that definitely occurs.
All right. So that is, I mean, you're saying wait?
Right. Yeah. So if you are exposed to COVID, but you don't have any symptoms, let's say you were exposed yesterday or the day before, you really need to wait probably 5 days, you know, after exposure before you get tested if you're asymptomatic.
Right. If you're just joining us, talking to Dr. Brendy Murphy with the Mobile County Health Department. Let's talk about news stories out now. We'll look at the numbers. You can, but that ICU beds filling up. I think one was talking about Baldwin County ICU beds are fill it up. But is that all COVID? It could be other things, right? Or is it COVID? We have to flatten the curve again, or what's the situation?
Yeah. So the ICUs are pretty full. It's not all COVID, luckily. There are lots of other explanations for the ICU beds being full. But we are seeing a higher number of people hospitalized on any given day with COVID. We started seeing numbers in the 100s every day just this week, and that is alarming to us. It's still lower than we had in July. In July, the hospitals in Mobile had, you know, 200, 210 or so patients with COVID diagnoses in the hospital on any given day. Yesterday and the day before, it was about 120.
So, okay. But you feel there's a trend that way? The trend?
Absolutely. It is absolutely going up. I've been watching it every week. We had gotten down to around 50 or 60 hospitalized patients per day. This is a month or two ago. And it has slowly risen each week over the past 4 or 5 weeks. And now we're in the low 100 or the low 120s.
All right. Coming right back, more with Dr. Randy Murphy from the Mobile County Health Department. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right. Welcome back. And our conversation with Dr. Randy Murphy from the Mobile County Health Department. And going through some of the questions we have now going into Thanksgiving, going into the new year about COVID and where we sit. Dr. Murphy, Chuck said, but is it not 99.5% survivable? I guess he's talking about COVID here.
The death rate with COVID in Mobile County is generally, it's right about 2%.
Okay.
So that is good, but, you know, 2% of our population of Mobile County is 6,400 people. And so, you know, we've had maybe, 2,500 die so far. So are we willing to accept another, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people dead in Mobile County? That's not acceptable to me.
What about when we look at the on the horizon, one that has gotten a big discussion. I know Dr. Einschul was talking about this this week, and that is Mardi Gras. To Mardi Gras or not, Dr. Murphy, what's the take coming from Louisville County Health Department?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I get asked about every conceivable event or gathering out there. Is this safe? Is that safe? What do I think about this? And I just keep saying the same thing, which any non-work-related gathering where 6 feet of distance cannot be maintained between people of different households are prohibited at this time. And not only are they prohibited, they're a really, really bad idea. So whether it's Mardi Gras or a ball or a convention or, you know, a health fair or a craft fair, whatever, at church, weddings, funerals, they're all higher risk when you cannot, and prohibited when you cannot maintain that 6 foot of distance.
So, I mean, you're saying without there being those little things, stand here signs and stuff on the street, that as it stands now, you don't see Mardi Gras being a go?
It will be a game time call. I'll say that. I'm not saying no. I'm saying if it was running tomorrow, it would not be allowed to occur, unless the permit, you know, the permitting establishments or the business owner or the event holder was able to enforce and make sure that those 6 feet were respected and that everyone was wearing masks if they're outside, that sort of thing.
That's
so
impossible.
We don't know what it's going to look like on February 13th. So, you know, hopefully, if things went well, the statewide orders would be lifted and further restricted if the cases are going down and people can parade. But I think it's too early for right now we just have to work underneath the umbrella that we're giving, and that's the state order.
Dr. Murphy, speaking of that, something I'm always looking for are benchmarks, right? Because we and I have talked about this before. We have benchmarks that send us into stay at home or safer at home. What about to recover from that? What is that number that you would look for? Number of cases, is there a fixed benchmark for percentage or number that would change?
There's not a single benchmark, but there are benchmarks. So, for example, Alabama has adopted a risk indicator dashboard that they have been using to sort of give each county an indicator about, based on some data, what the risk of community transmission is in any given point of time. And the indicators it uses are the number of cases. So it looks to see if there is an overall decline in new cases over a two-week period. They look for the percent of laboratory tests that are positive. So that needs to be low. And the indicator is it less than 10%? So are less than 10% of all tests positive? And it also looks to make sure you're meeting your testing goals, right? We need to, I think for our population, we need to be testing 2,000 people a week, which we are. And then the other indicator that ADPH uses is our emergency department visits for COVID-like illness declining. So right now, Mobile is in a high-risk category, and we have been moving back and forth from yellow to orange to red this fall. So I won't feel like we're sort of over this next hump until we're green for several weeks in a row.
Okay. I got to ask you two questions before we run out of time here. Quick one here. A story popped up today that melatonin may have some reduction in COVID-19. Is that a spurious correlation, or have you heard that yet?
I have not heard that yet, but now you've given something to look up when I'm eating my lunch.
There you go. And I'll add one more here. What about the flu? I mean, we're going into flu season. I've heard some dire predictions about if somebody does get flu and COVID at the same time.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, we're all still in this big experiment that we call COVID-19 pandemic. It's not too early and not too late to get a flu shot. So get a flu shot. And yes, we are watching and waiting to see how flu and COVID dual infections, what they're going to look like, if it's going to make illness worse or not. It's just too early to tell.
All right, 1 minute left here. What are y'all hearing on the vaccines? We heard from Azar yesterday, HHS secretary, that maybe as early as December 14th. Have you heard anything from Mobile County? And who would get those first vaccines?
Yeah, we're hearing that it may roll mid-December, as you mentioned that Secretary Azar mentioned. Yes, there are Mobile hospitals that are on the list. All the Mobile hospitals are on the list to receive vaccine. I have heard that between 100,000 to 500,000 may be allocated for Alabama on the first round. It'll go to healthcare providers, first responders, and people over 65.
All right, so that would be that might happen this year in December.
Absolutely.
All right. I know you'll have the dashboard and those resources for people looking. Where do they go online to get that info?
So you can go to mchd.org. You can try alabamapublichealth.gov. And if you have, you know, questions, complaints, clarification, you can send an email to covid19@mchd.org.
All right. I'll see you out at the kids' table tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. Dr. Wendy Burfrey, always great to come on the show with us. I appreciate your time. We'll get your calls when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35. How about you? Midday Mobile. It's like a it's Thanksgiving Eve, a little bit Friday-esque out there, seeing the traffic patterns. I'm going to check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. And first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and the whole crew at LCM.
Absolutely. Same to everybody, to you and everybody listening. Hope everybody has a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
So you're going to be closed tomorrow, but what about on Friday?
We'll be open normal hours, 8 to 6 on Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. Yes, we will have three TVs going for that game going on Saturday afternoon.
Yes, so we can come out, check out the game, and check out the inventory. Walk us through just kind of the volume of inventory y'all have right now.
We got probably one of the best inventories we've had all year. I mean, we got just tremendous selection. I mean, we don't usually have a lot of cars, but we've got a lot of cars. We've got a lot of low mileage, one owner, you know, still under factory warranty vehicles. You know, we got Camrys, we got Hondas. We got Chevrolets, we got GMCs, we just got a great mix of all kind of sports cars, Dodge Chargers, Mustangs, so we got a full array.
See, you've piqued their curiosity, so tell folks how to find you at LCM.
Come see us at the corner of Highway 90 and Plantation Road, visit us online at lcmmotorcars.com, like us on Facebook, or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, 12:37. A lot of text here, but I want to hear from you on the phone lines, too. Number one, if you got some kind of cool Thanksgiving story, I like that. If you're heading out somewhere different, we'll relay that. Also, on this Mardi Gras thing, I mean, what are y'all hearing? I mean, I'm not trying to send out, you know, the Batman signal here or anything, but everything I'm hearing at this point, if I was going to have to wager, and Dalton, I'm going to be ready in the next segment to talk about those, see if it changed the line, speaking of wagers in the Iron Bowl, with the COVID diagnosis for Saban. But if I was betting right now, it doesn't feel, once again, this I can say what I think might happen, not because I want it to happen. I want Mardi Gras to happen, obviously. Me personally, big Mardi Gras folks, this station, you know, with our focus on the history of Mardi Gras. But I worry a lot whether we're going to have Mardi Gras in 2021. I really do. Like I said this morning, I worry about we've shut down jury trials at the state district court level because of COVID. I mean, you can't. That's a absolutely higher up on the way higher up on the triage list of what government's supposed to be doing than messing around in Mardi Gras. As much as I'm a Mardi Gras fan. And that's I don't know. I mean, just the as if we're going to stay under these rules, then I don't know how you if we're like it is today, how do you with what's being said from the state level? How do you put Mardi Gras on that? I don't everything that makes Mardi Gras great is like contrary to what, you know, what's going on here. And listen, we've got it easy here compared to what's happening in other states. You know, that where their governors are a little more emperor-like, right? The do as I say, not as I do stuff, which is really rubbing everybody the wrong way, for rightfully so. I mean, you could see story after story where the governors say, all right, well, here's the, you know, like, what was it, Cuomo, who was telling everybody not to have their Thanksgiving, but then he was on some show, Governor Cuomo, talking about, oh, yeah, this person's coming over for Thanksgiving. I've got my kids coming up and so-and-so coming up. And then, let's see, out of Denver here, the mayor of Denver, Michael Hancock, said, it's Mayor Hancock, said people to avoid travel in order to slow the spread of COVID. And next thing you know, they caught him boarding a flight to Houston, heading down for Thanksgiving. Said he was traveling to Houston to visit his daughter in Mississippi. His wife was already there. So I think they wonder why, you know, why it makes it hard for people to follow along when they say one thing and do something completely different. All right, to the phones now at 343-0106. And Justine is in Mobile. First up, hey, Justine.
Hey, good morning. I mean,
it's afternoon. It's whatever you want it to be.
It's fall. It's Thanksgiving. It's 2020, man. I'm sorry I'm befuddled. But I do have a pertinent question, I hope.
Okay.
Why couldn't Mardi Gras just be delayed?
Well, I mean, if we base it around the reason it exists.
No, why couldn't we just move it back to a little farther into the spring?
To this morning?
Spring.
Oh, the spring.
Sorry.
Well, I'm saying, but Mardi Gras is based on the Christian calendar. I mean, it's
yes, the Christian calendar has certainly changed over the millennia.
Yeah, but Ash Wednesday is, you know, they sit there in the supercomputer at the Vatican and figure out when Ash Wednesday is, and then everything moves from there.
No. Like
yeah.
I said,
yes.
The Christian calendar certainly has changed since Constantinople. I mean, come on, you know?
Constantine or Constantinople?
Check with the Pope, okay?
I will. I will get a missive to the Pope right away on that. So, thank you, Justine. I mean, Mardi Gras, yes, it's become this secular thing, but it has absolutely, the reason this happens is the church. It's Ash Wednesday. You said Ash Wednesday, and then you back out from Ash Wednesday. That's why we have Fat Tuesday. George, in Mobile, up next. Hey, George.
Hey, I'm just going to quick comment, and it's just my opinion here. But the mayor could have ended all this just by coming out and declaring that it wasn't going to be having, they weren't going to have Mardi Gras this year. Basically, all the restrictions that are in place are making it impossible. And you see these different groups that are jumping out, and the others that are laying it, hoping for something to happen. But the mayor's saying, oh, well, I'm going to push it over to the health department or whatever else.
Yeah.
Basically,
it's hot potato.
We're all up against deadlines now where the ones that haven't made the call are going to have to make the call here in another week. And he just doesn't want to be the bad guy to say we're not going to have it this year.
I would agree this is a game of hot potato, right? Everybody's trying to throw that hot potato to somebody else and saying, I didn't cancel Mardi Gras. They canceled Mardi Gras.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, they keep pushing it around and whatever else. I mean, some of the groups have been smart enough to say, and I'm in a group that hasn't canceled yet. But anyway, like I said, some of them have been smart enough to say, you know, hey, financially, it's not going to work for us. I mean, we're going to lose thousands of dollars based on what we can do at our balls and whatever else, because you have to sell tickets to have the money to recoup most of what you put on for the parade and ball.
Yep. And what would the, even if you could have, let's say you were an organization that had your own den, right? And you could move your, you could have a much smaller ball, but have it at your own den versus having it at the Civic Center. Well, but at that point too, because it's a event that has unrelated people, right? And not 6 feet of separate, they could shut that down too, I guess.
I mean, yeah, they could necessarily. I mean, like I said, you know, you're still inside the city limits,
yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah,
so.
Most dens are.
I mean, you know.
I don't know, George, anyway. But you're right. I agree. I think it could just be solved really quickly, but the problem is people are, I mean, if I'm in that position, I want to make it. I want to throw the hot potato to somebody else. I'd probably, just because I'm a stubborn old mule, I'd just take the lick. But I understand it. All right, let's go to my man Fireball in Mobile. Fireball, are you fired up?
Yeah, I'm fired up. You got your man right, buddy.
Good.
You got it right. How y'all doing today?
I think I'm good. I don't know what I've forgotten for Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know yet till I get the note. So right now I feel good, but I'll probably get a list of I forgot to do this, or I got to go get the folding table or something like that. But for right now, I'm okay.
That's what I want to hear. Ask me how I'm doing, John.
Hey, Fireball, how are you doing?
Oh, it ain't nothing to it. Just like my paycheck.
There we go, folks. He'll be here all week. All right, let's get into it. What you thinking?
Sean, I don't know. I know this coronavirus is, but was it worse than the swine flu or the H1N1 flu or whatever it was?
You know, I can't. I mean, you can look at, you can go online, and this is the thing people will find online. You can find a study that shows you whatever you want, one way or another. I know anecdotally, anecdotally, which isn't worth shake or salt other than for me, I don't remember friends or family members getting swine flu that I knew of, maybe because they didn't talk about it. But I don't remember that. That's my only takeaway from that.
That's right. Well, look here. Was it the governor or the mayor of some state or city that wanted the residents to spy on other residents, that they had too many people for Thanksgiving? They wanted to call in and report them. Have you heard of that?
Maybe I heard something about that. Dalton will get on that, I'm sure, and give us an answer if that's true. You know, that kind of stuff is a wrong direction for a free republic.
That's right. But that's all I wanted to say. I want y'all to have a very happy Thanksgiving and be safe this weekend, and maybe I'll get to call in another Monday.
There we go. Well, we'll be talking to you then. Thank you, Fireball. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. It's 12:46. We'll catch news headlines, and then we'll be right back. Phone number, 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:51, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I mean, let's talk professionals for a second. Okay, professionals. First of all, there's a chance, if you're bucking CDC guidelines, like a lot of you renegades out there are. Not me. I always obey the rules. But if you were bucking the rules out there, maybe you got an aunt. Is it Marge? Is it Sally? Is it, and maybe it's an uncle, but in my world, it's usually been that, that will be at your house, and while they're there, saying things like, did somebody hurt their back and not able to move this junk? I just drop in little like, Listen, so there's a professional on noticing your failings. Bring in another professional and get that problem solved. And that's my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He is way more professional and way more successful at solving problems than Aunt Edna. This is how it works. If you got junk in your house, around your house, you got the trampoline, swing set, playhouse, trifecta in the backyard, and your youngest child's in their 30s, let it go. And let my man Trey do this for you. He's doing it in Mobile and Baldwin counties. It's just that easy. You got junk at an office, a storage unit you've been paying on year after year. You don't even know what you have in there. Get rid of the junk and do it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's as easy as picking up the phone and calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK or going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They're going to talk with you like human beings and find a window of time that works for you on a day that works for you. And then they'll set an appointment. Then they show up. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get the work done. Unlike Aunt Edna, they will leave when the work is done and not stay around your house till 10:30 at night. So check them out, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, I asked this question to my friend Dalton earlier with the story, the breaking news. Maybe in 2021 I'll get a breaking news sounder. Like, you know, everybody else in news, that everything that happens is breaking news. Like, every story.
Yeah, and well, you have to choose wisely because we do have the encore band that plays.
Yeah, but that doesn't
work for everything, because if you have like breaking news that the Queen has died, you don't want like
Well, I mean, I do have the last name Sullivan. So the breaking news that came out earlier that Coach Saban has been diagnosed with COVID. They think this time it's for real, unlike last time, because he's showing symptoms.
Yeah, quote, very mild symptoms.
Very
mild.
They say. All right. So with that news, though, it sounds like if that is true, right, it continues, he doesn't have another false positive thing. Mm-hmm. He will not be on the sideline, or will he be allowed to be in Brian Denny at all?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, Saban has, by everything we've seen, it looks like he's following the rules as close to the guidelines as he can. So I doubt that even if he has a confirmed positive and they find a way to get him into the stadium.
Like the secret tunnel?
Yeah, I don't think he would take him up on that, even though he would probably really, really want to. But it looks like Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator there in Tuscaloosa, will likely be the interim head coach for however long Saban is out of commission. And I know you were wondering, what does the line look like?
I'm wondering two things. Number one, what it will look like in the living room at the Saban household with Coach Saban watching the game.
Mm.
I would love a live feed of that, because the way I act in front of a TV when Bama's playing, I wonder how he'd... and then number two, yes, has this moved the Vegas line on the Iron Bowl?
It actually has not. Which is Bama pretty big favorites as far as the Iron Bowl goes. 24.5-point favorites. That's what they were this morning, and that's what they still are. Actually, I've even seen one line move up to 25. So if anything, it's gone in the other direction with more money coming in on Alabama. I don't think that's because Saban tested positive, but I just don't think that was big enough news in this particular matchup to move the line. What's interesting is, when Alabama was getting ready to play Georgia earlier this year, and that's when Saban...
It moved the line, didn't it?
It did. That's when Saban had his scare, his first scare, when he didn't have any symptoms and it turned out that he was negative for COVID-19. They actually moved that line by about 2.5 points off the news that he was sick. But it looks like most people aren't too worried about not having him available to coach against the Auburn Tigers. But I'll tell you something, and I've been joking along with Dan and Jeff and you this week that Alabama is very, very, very likely to win this game. But this is still the Iron Bowl we're talking about.
Believe me, I don't put anything past the Iron Bowl. There'll be nervous folks in my house.
I mean, they've split the last four seasons. It's 2-2 over the last 4 years.
So I heard.
24.5 points is a lot of points. And if I were, and, well, I am a gambling man, my money would probably be on the Auburn Tigers with that 24.5 points. I will tell you that the Saban news hasn't moved anything. What is important to the odds makers on both teams, one, Auburn running back Tank Bigsby, who left the game against Tennessee with an injury. If he is able to go, if they find out that he is able to play Saturday, that would move, I believe, the line back in Auburn's direction, because he's really
by
important.
A touchdown by two?
No,
by...
but maybe a point or two, max. Okay. But that's how important he is to the Auburn offense. There's no reason to believe that Mac Jones or anyone else in the Alabama program will be out this weekend. But if Mac Jones or if Devontae Smith were to miss the game for some reason, that would also be enough to move the line in Auburn's direction. But right now, it doesn't look like the news that Saban will not be coaching has done much at all for the money coming in on this game.
So it leaves me scratching my head on that. But, I mean, it moved it for the Georgia game, but not for the Iron Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, coming up on Friday's morning show, because I'm pinch hitting this week for Dan, we've got Jason Campbell.
Yep.
So we're going to huddle up. That's at 8 o'clock on Friday morning. And through somebody who has played the game, who knows, you know, there'll be interesting perspective.
Yeah.
And then for a man that has watched the game a whole bunch, our buddy Paul Feinbaum will join us at 8:35 on Friday morning to break down the game.
Wasn't Feinbaum a fullback for Alabama?
Yeah, he was. Back then, he just thinned down a lot. And we'll get Paul on Friday, get his take. All right, coming right back, hour number two. So it did not move the line.
No. Nope.
Hour number two of Midday Mobile coming up next.